Our second scripture lesson this morning is Mark 13, 13th chapter of Mark, verses 24 through 37. That's found in your pew Bible on page 984. The 13th chapter of Mark is often thought of and billed as Jesus' apocalypse, the mini apocalypse. It's written in the 13th chapter of Mark, where Jesus turns his vision toward the future and what's going to happen. He talks about his return. And so it's always been a favorite in Advent to read this and to hear from Jesus' own lips what's coming. Let's hear and attend God's word from Mark chapter 13, beginning at verse 24. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you will know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be on alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with an assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether it's in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Jesus' word here is be ready, be on alert. Isn't it? It's something that we find difficult at times. Tomorrow we're celebrating an anniversary, a terrible anniversary actually, in which we, the United States, were not on the alert. It was 7:02 a.m. in the morning on December 7th of 1941. There were two soldiers operating a radar on the island of Oahu in Hawaii. They detected a large flight of planes approaching from the north at a distance of about 136 miles. One of the operators, Joseph Lockhart, telephoned the information center at Fort Shafter. He reported the incoming planes. If someone would have been alert, if someone would have been awake. Joe McDonald manned the switchboard that morning. He was sure this was a serious call. This was not a prank. He passed it on to the authorities, and yet nothing was done. The warning was ignored. And mere minutes later, Hickam Field was hit by the first bombs of the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor. Being alert is not a small thing. It's not just something we say and pass it off and keep going. Being alert can mean the difference between life and death, between meeting the Lord and the Savior and being blessed. This is the first Sunday of Advent. the first of four Sundays this year when we will celebrate the incarnation of God in human flesh, the birth of our Lord and Savior. And during our celebration of this first coming, we not only look back to the first incarnation, but we look forward to the day when Christ will return. So this scripture lesson points us both to the first and the second comings of Christ. The words of Isaiah. I love that expression that Isaiah, he's frustrated about the world and the situation of it. And he cries out, "Come on, God, come down. Straighten out this mess." You ever feel that way? Who hasn't? Particularly lately, right? We get frustrated and we get angry about the sinful state of the world. And it often seems that evil is winning, that evil has the upper hand. Think about the situation in our nation. We're so divided along political and cultural lines. There are accusations. There is a contested election even now. And we have a real onslaught of allegations being leveled right now. Racial prejudice is something that's on the minds of many, many people. I was talking to a dear friend. I happened to be in the Lexington area for many years, and I got to know a lot of the folks at VMI, Virginia Military Academy, and it's really being torn apart right now because of the allegations that racial prejudice has been part of their program for years. And how do you defend against something that, you know, like that? And that the same sort of a situation is found with all the statues that are being removed all over our nation. I think it began with Confederate statues that might have been offensive to someone who was afflicted in their family by slavery, but it seems now that any statue is fair game. And we want to erase anything from history that might be offensive to anyone. There's a militant group of people kind of quietly right now in our country and in our world seeking to diminish and discredit the Church of Jesus Christ. They're feeling that the world would be better off without Christianity. And therefore they blame Christians for many of the ills of our world. Kind of reminds you of the situation in Rome early in the life of the church. And the Emperor Nero, it is said that he was the one responsible for setting the city on fire, and then he blamed it on whom? He blamed it on the Christians. All of these things say, make us want to cry out as Isaiah, "Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens and come down, that the nations may tremble at thy presence." Come on, God. You're our God. Show them who's the boss here. Right? For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. In other words, this world is rubbing off on your people, Lord. And even our righteous deeds, even the good things that we're doing, are coming out dirty for some reason. Come down, set it all straight. God's answer to Isaiah, we know, is Jesus Christ. But when Christ came, was the world ready for him? No. They were not ready for him. They did not recognize or embrace the Son of God himself. The world was busy doing what the world always does, and quietly, the Son of God was born as one of us. We learn in today's gospel lesson from Mark that his second coming will not be so quiet. Jesus warns us that following a great tribulation, the sun's going to turn dark. The moon will turn dark, and the stars will fall from the sky. We're not sure what he means by that, but I'm sure when we witness it, maybe we'll recognize. He says, the Son of Man will descend from the sky with great power and glory. And we say to ourselves, great Jesus, give us the date. We'll put it on our calendar and we'll be ready and alert. But there's the catch, isn't it? No one knows the day or the hour when Christ will return. Only God the Father knows. So Jesus gave us things to look for so that we will know when the day is coming. First, he says there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Nations will rise against nations. That's been all of my life. I don't know about yours. There will be earthquakes in various places. How many earthquakes have we seen? There will be persecution of Christians and Jews. That's increasing, actually, globally right now. You could be arrested for your faith. Families will be divided, and there will be hatred directed on all those who call themselves Christian. Then a great affront to God will occur in the Holy Land. Jesus talked about the abomination of desolation, which will stand in the holy place, a place most holy to God. Now, there are a lot of theories about what the abomination of desolation is and when it might have occurred. We know that abomination in the Bible often refers to an idol. And so it likely refers to something that is set up as an object of worship in a place that our God deems holy. Now, most theories agree that the abomination refers to something that has already occurred in history. It could be that the Roman emperor around AD 70, he put statues of himself and a Roman god in the place of the destroyed temple in Jerusalem. He, along with the Romans who occupied Jerusalem, took every opportunity to show the people of God, the Hebrews or the Israelites, that they were going to be the boss from here on out. So he sets up a statue of himself and a Roman god where the temple used to stand, in the holiest place of Judaism. Now there's another theory, because if you go there today, if you travel to the Holy Land and go up to the Temple Mount where the temple used to be, you'll find a mosque. The Al-Aqsa Mosque stands on the Temple Mount. Some people believe that that's the abomination. There's also a theory that the crucifixion of Christ is the abomination that makes desolate. Regardless of what the abomination might be, it's likely that it's already occurred since the day that Jesus set this warning in Matthew 13. So what does this mean for us? It means that we're living in a time when the second coming of Christ is imminent. Many of the things that Jesus listed as that we should be paying attention to, a lot of those have occurred. Which means at any moment, the sun and the moon could go dark, the stars could begin to fall, and we would indeed hear the trumpet, and Christ would arrive in great power and glory down through the clouds. Jim reviewed it this morning that, you know, when we watched the disciples watched Christ ascend up into the clouds on the day of ascension. The angel comes and said, what are you looking for? This same Jesus is coming back the way you just saw him leave. He will arrive, however, and this time in great power and glory with legions of angels. And Jesus tells us that all of these things will occur. And he's telling us so that we will be ready. Four times in this short reading from Mark's gospel, Jesus said, stay on the alert. But what does that mean? It means that active waiting that I was talking to the children about. Staying on the alert means, yes, you've got your one eye out for Jesus, but on the other hand, you are not just sitting there waiting. You are doing the work that Christ called you to do, an active kind of waiting. It's a theme found in many of Jesus' parables, the parable of the fig tree, the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, the parable of the talents, if you remember. These all refer to being on the alert, being industrious while we're waiting for Christ's coming. The bridesmaids, remember the idea was keep your lamp full, keep your relationship with Christ vital and a powerful part of your life. The parable of the talents, invest what God gave you. When God comes, when Christ comes again, be busy doing exactly what he prepared you to do in your life, putting your talents and your gifts to work for the betterment of his kingdom. Being ready, being alert, has to mean that our relationship with Christ is active, that we're involved in all that he has called us to do. Actively loving God, and actively loving our neighbors. That is being on the alert. To him be the glory. Amen. Join me in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we crave that phrase, well done, good and faithful servant. While we wait, may we be good and faithful servants. May we indeed be about the business, putting our gifts and talents to work for your kingdom, being a blessing and receiving the blessing of you and the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives. Thank you. To you be all praise, glory, and honor, both now and forever. Amen.